is Isaiah 55. Romans chapter number 7 and Isaiah 55. Announcement wise, we have Outreach Saturday, not coming up this Saturday, but the following Saturday, November 5th. Veterans Sunday is coming up, and that's November 13th. We're going to have a special day for Veterans Sunday where we're going to do an outreach to try to reach out to more veterans. We'll have some postcards here by Wednesday night, so that way you can go out and invite people. Sort of like what we did for Patriot Sunday, but most of us probably would know veterans that maybe don't go to church. It's a great time to remember and honor them. Also, those that are active duty military too will also honor them that day with a gift. We're going to have a meal following that, and then that Sunday afternoon we're going to have a Thanksgiving. So all those different things going on, and that is November 13th. It's just a few weeks away. The Lord's Supper, we usually do that the Sunday night before Thanksgiving. I'm going to keep with that just to make sure we have the right perspective when it comes to the many, many things we're thankful for, but that's definitely one. And then you also have on there prayer and praise service, Christmas parade float. If you're interested in helping us build the Christmas parade float, that would be a great blessing. We need some help with a little bit with the designing and also putting it all together. It's going to be a more simple theme this year, but I think it's going to be something that's going to be encouraging. And then also we have the date and time for the adult Christmas banquet. We'll give you some more details about that as time goes along. Okay, Romans chapter number 7. We're going to jump from one verse to another verse, and then we're going to end up in Isaiah 55. Mr. Barry is out of town for a few weeks, so we're going to keep our classes the same way they are for 2 to 3 weeks as he is visiting family and doing some other things in some different areas of the country. So you keep him in your prayers. Miss him when he's not here, but thankful for them. Okay, so I mentioned this yesterday in our men's prayer time. Each Saturday we have that men's prayer time. Encourage people to come. It's blessing, encouragement. If you can, it's a blessing to get to pray with other men one-on-one and also as prayers together. But yesterday in devotion, I had mentioned something that I was going to mention to our young people yesterday at our activity. And yesterday we had Super Saturday. It went well. Thankful for all the people who helped. Had a good number here. I'm not sure how many, but it was like somewhere around 20 young people here. And it was a nice time. Children did a good job behaving and had just enough workers. So thankful for how the Lord provides. The thought behind the lesson yesterday is something I was trying to teach, and I like to emphasize it this morning. It wasn't what I had planned for Sunday school, but sometimes the Lord changes your plans, and sometimes you like that, and sometimes you don't when you're having to try to study something out in a quick way. And that was one of these things. So in Romans chapter 7, verse number 7, the Bible says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet." Let's have a word of prayer. Ask the Lord's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you give me the words that you once said. Lord, I believe you want us looking at this and helping us understand some important truths. And Lord, I pray that it just be you that leads and directs, you that speaks to the people's hearts, Lord, you that make a difference in their lives. We know spiritually that I can do nothing, Lord, but you can do so much. In Jesus' name, amen. So the principle why we started with and people is because there's some of them that don't know much about church, some that don't know anything about the Bible. We ask the question, who wrote the Bible? Anybody want to give me an answer? Who wrote the Bible? God. And God moved upon men, but God inspired the men, so it was God that wrote the Bible. And then we ask the question, should we listen to what the Bible says? And the answer would be yes. So we established those two principles. God wrote the Bible. We should listen to what the Bible says. The next thing is, what if the Bible says something I don't agree with or something doesn't feel right to me? And I explained to them, and my main thought for them was trying to be learning how to be grateful and thankful and not to complain. And sometimes that's an issue that we have today with with children, the generations that are coming up, an entitlement type thing, and not being taught to say thank you, and not being those different things. So I said, if I can show you in the Bible that it says this, should we agree to do that? And the answer obviously is yes, it's easy to say, but it's hard to live. Like, for instance, I went through and I gave examples of some different things that did not come natural to me and still does not come natural to me. Giving thanks. The Bible says, giving thanks always for all things unto God, unto the Father, in our name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Always giving thanks. You know what? We're not always thankful. It's not natural for us. It's not natural in our flesh. Being kind one to another. And I mentioned that. There are some people out there I don't really want to be kind to. There's some people out there in the world I don't really enjoy, don't like spending time with them because of the things they may say or do, and I feel uncomfortable around them. But the Bible talks about us having a love for others, and the Bible talks about being kind to others. That doesn't, to me, if God's word had not said it, I would have never known I was supposed to do that. If God's word had not said I was supposed to be thankful in every situation, I would have never done that. If God did not say, rejoice in the Lord always, I would think it's okay to rejoice in the Lord when things were going right, when things were going well, when things were going good. Then I would have done it then, but without God telling me that, I would have never known. Forgiveness. Boy, it's so easy to hold on to bitterness. It's so easy to hold on to something. It's so easy to want to just keep that into our heart because we don't want to give. We don't want to forgive. And if God's word didn't tell us that we should forgive, and God's word didn't tell us, you know, Peter even is like, should it be seven times? And he's like, 70 times seven. And he says, it's not something you keep track of. I would have never, ever considered that. Would never even enter my feelings, my mindset, if the Bible didn't tell me that. And even as we've been going through Philippians chapter number 2 and looking at things about nothing to be done through strife or vainglory. And also talks about do all things without murmurings and disputings. I would have never got that. Maybe you would have, but I would never pick that up on my own until the Bible told me that. So if the Bible is God's word, we should obey it. When we're confronted with something, then we should be interested in changing. When we're confronted with the truth of the word of God, we're not talking about, I know some people have certain preferences, some people have certain likes and dislikes, and they even sometimes apply biblical principles to it. I get that. And I think we develop our convictions from biblical principles. I understand that. But when the Bible clearly says, do not do this, or thou shalt not, or do nothing in this way, do all things without, and everything, I would have never thought those different things. But then it goes to a step further, because I'm looking at inside of a room there, all different type of age groups, all different type of backgrounds, all different type of situations. And I'm thinking, and there's some basic things here that we don't like to deal with. We like to say, oh, this is dead wrong, and this is dead wrong. And I get that, because we learned that from the Bible. But when it comes to certain things that maybe, do I really got to forgive? Am I really supposed to be someone who is kind and forgiving, looking for unity, working together for the work? It was just a thought the Lord brought into my mind. I would have never known that unless the Bible taught me that. Let's take our Bible now to Romans chapter number 1. We're going to get to Isaiah 55 in a second, but in Romans chapter 1, when I mentioned the thought to the men yesterday, you know, the question was asked, well, what sin would you have thought? Because I came up with a couple of those. Some people, you know, lying is another one. It is so easy to justify in our minds. If it means that I'm going to get out of something or get out of being in trouble, then what's the big deal? But the Bible tells us not to lie. Those are things that, and I asked, it says, so what are something in your mind that you would think would be a sin that you never realize is something you're supposed to do until God told you? And the response was all of them. Because in all reality, we do not know right from wrong except for what the Bible tells us. Now, there is a conscience that we have, but obviously our conscience can be swayed by how we are brought up, or conscience can be swayed as an unsaved person can be definitely saved as how we're brought up in location. Some people can think it's okay to fly airplanes and towers. Some people can think it's okay that, you know, it's okay to kill a baby 28 days after it's been born just because it's in the name of abortion. You know, how do you get there? Where do you get to that process? And in Romans chapter 1, it gives us, I believe, the answer, at least a good part of the answer. Let's go ahead and start. We don't want to spend all day here, and we could. It's a great passage of Scripture. But look what it says in verses 20 and 21. Romans 1, 20, 21. We'll look at 22 also. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Creation itself lets us know there is a God. And it's there. There is a God. He's even put something inside of us to help us understand that we know there is a God. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So what the scripture is saying there is that even though they knew there was a God, they had tried to find every other way to get around there being a God, because if there is a God, then we have to be answerable to him. So that's where I believe evolution comes from. And that's where I believe many of the ungodly things that come from is they choose not to have God in their knowledge. They choose to take God out of their thinking. And because they take God out of their thinking, everything is left wide open. Anything can happen. There is really nothing that is off limits. Things that were off limits 200 years ago, they're okay today. Things that are off limits today, 200 years from now, if the Lord tarries, it's going to be okay then too. And so, how do we apply this to our hearts and lives? It's good and easy to do when we're talking about what we would consider the sin outside. And we should preach and teach against that. We should preach and teach against murder and abortion and booze and drug addiction and immorality and things like that. But I also think we need to preach about things that we ourselves may struggle with. Things that we should look at and say, okay, I need to look at what if he's God and it says in this book there are certain things I'm supposed to do, then I need to do what this says. So let's go now to Isaiah 55. Now, I know that was a little bit of a long introduction, but I think you understand where we're going, at least his thoughts, and maybe it resonated in my mind a little bit. Maybe it will resonate in your mind. You know, I would have never known, and that's what it says in Romans 7:7, I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So Paul was sitting there and he was writing. He says, I would have never known it was wrong to lust after something because it comes so natural, it comes so easy until the law told me. Now, thankfully, we're under grace. We're not under the law. I think we have a good understanding of that. But if you don't, it just because of the fact that we are under grace today does not give us a license to sin. The law teaches us about God. Even in the epistles, it says the law was my schoolmaster, my school teacher. It showed me the character of God. It taught me the character of God. It taught me that I could not do this on my own, and I need God's help. I need a Savior, that we're all sinners. So it taught me those things. And I thought it was interesting. He says, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And many times we think in our mind, is there anything wrong with the wrong thought? I mean, nobody else sees it. Nobody else is hurt by it. Nobody else is. And the answer is yes. We would have never known that until the Bible told us to capture all our thoughts into obedience and to take all our imaginations and bring into the obedience of Jesus Christ. Don't let any thought think of no wicked thing. Set no wicked thing before mine eye. There are things that we would never, ever had known until we learned it from here. And so I think that's a good thought. That's a good thought for me. But at the same time, am I going to apply it to my own heart and my life? Am I going to say, if I know this is God's word and I want to listen to God's word, we know it's right, then we should do it. Remember, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So Isaiah chapter 55, we're going to read the whole chapter, and we're going to come to another principle thinking about what truly brings satisfaction? Because that's one of the things in here I would not have known. I would not have understood what the Bible has to say until I learned what the Word of God says, this is what satisfies you. Because we spend a lot of time and effort in trying to find satisfaction, trying to find contentment, trying to find those things that are going to make us happy, that are going to make us be thankful and grateful. But in all reality, those things that we focus on, we think if we can just get this, then we're going to be happy. We're going to be grateful. We're going to be thankful. We're going to be content. See, the Bible teaches us that if the more the Lord we get, the more thankful we're going to be. The man who has God for his treasure, this is something I thought was interesting. It was written by A.W. Tozer in The Pursuit of God. The man who has God for his treasure has all things in one. Many ordinary treasures may be denied him, or if he's allowed to have them, the enjoyment of them will be so tempered that they will never be necessary in his happiness. Or if he must see them go one after one, he will scarcely feel a sense of loss. For having the source of all things, talking about God, he has in one all satisfaction, all pleasure, all delight. Whatever he may lose, he has actually lost nothing, for he now has it all in one, and he has it purely, legitimately, and forever. So let's look here at this, and let's keep on working. There's some famous verses in here you're going to see, and some things in here. We're going to kind of work our way through this. And take this thought, is God's thoughts are greater than my thoughts, or higher than my thoughts. Look what it says, ho, verse number one. It's like an exclamation there. Let's pay attention. Everyone that thirsteth, and it's somebody who's seeking, someone who's thirsty for something, and boy, the Bible talks about thirsting after God, longing after God, searching after God, seeking after God. He says, everyone, and once again, there's the invitation. It's not just to the Jews. It's to everyone that thirsteth. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Then it says in verse number two, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And it says you're wasting your money on something that is not going to satisfy, that's not going to meet your needs. This next phrase, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. There is many people out there that are pursuing different things, and there are certain things that they labor towards, and they work so hard. People seek after satisfaction in their possessions. People will do whatever they can to get a certain possession. And once again, there's nothing wrong with having a possession. There's nothing wrong with having something that's nice. I'm not saying that, but it's when that becomes your goal, that's what you put your strength towards, is that what you put your power towards. The scripture is saying here, it says, and your labor for that which satisfieth. If you think that silver and gold are going to satisfy you, it's just not true. It even tells us in Ecclesiastes that silver and gold doesn't satisfy us. If you say, if I just got that one more thing, I wouldn't need anything else. You know what happens? Many times, the next time, you want something more. You need something more. So people work hard for their possessions. What people fail to realize that it's temporary at best. What people fail to realize is that they're going to always leave that behind, and that they aren't going to be able to take that, and it's not going to be something that will give them a satisfaction forever. You say, well, Pastor, I have a car, and I kept that car, and I'm satisfied with that car. That's because you're not making that your goal. You're making something else your goal. You're spending your time and effort and energy on something, and whatever that is, it's not a possession. You have not made that car your possession. You say, I'm satisfied because of what I have. I'm satisfied with my house because of what I have. That's not your goal in life. The next thing is people seek satisfaction in their pursuits. And they're in the verse, labor for that which satisfieth not. They spend their time, their energy pursuing things that can never give them satisfaction of soul. I would not have known that if it wasn't in the Bible. The reality is that we were told that if we pursue and if we work hard, and that's what it's saying here, your labor for that which satisfieth, is saying that the things of this world, whatever you can accomplish in this world, it is not going to satisfy you completely. We think about Solomon. Solomon, probably one of the guys that had the greatest potential, had one of the most privileged people ever to live. Could you imagine being David's son, man after God's own heart? Could you imagine the Lord giving you wisdom surpassing anyone else before or after him, except for Jesus Christ, obviously? Hey, could you imagine he is set up to rule and reign in a kingdom that he gets to be not the first king of Israel, but the first king of Israel without really war, without enemies. David had taken care of those. God had given him all these things. What great potential. And if you go to chapter number 2 in Ecclesiastes, it talks about, you know, anything I wanted, I had. Anything I desired, I had. And I accomplished more than anybody before me. I've probably accomplished more than anybody after me. But then you keep on reading in chapter 2, you know what he says? But I hated my life. He says, I never found satisfaction. I never found happiness. I never found what I was looking for. And in this verse, when it tells you, and your labor for that which satisfieth not, so many times we spend time and energy on things that we think is going to bring us happiness. But many times these things require more of us than we ever think. If I could just learn this, if I could just do that. And once again, there is satisfaction in some things, but there is not satisfaction and contentment that can only come from knowing God and by putting him first. And that's what the scripture is saying here. And once again, I would not have understood that or known that until the Bible told me if I truly want to be satisfied, it's found in him. Look what it says in verse number 2. It says, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. So it's saying, look, you need to listen. Not only just listen to the Word of God. As we mentioned, what we've learned from the Word of God, I would not have known this was a sin unless God told me. I would not have known that the true satisfaction that I'm looking for in my soul is not running someone else down, is not getting my own way, is not everything turning out and lining up in a perfect row, is finding and knowing God and desiring God and being thirsty for the things of God. He says, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. So we have to, if we really truly want satisfaction, we got to put, it's God that I'm looking for. It's God I want to know. So behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander of the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not. These shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. And look what it says in verse number 6. We hear all these things that we're supposed to do. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Seeking after God and understanding and knowing God, that is what's going to bring true contentment in our life. In Philippians chapter number 3, we're going to get to it close this upcoming week. Paul last week talked about, I don't need any of these things. He says, all these things on my resume that the world looks at and says, wow, he says, I count them but loss. Because I know in my flesh, I'm not going to get to God. He says, I'm willing to count all those things lost because I know in my flesh I cannot do anything that's spiritual. So he's there and he says, that I may win Christ, that I may know him. But he's also, he said, well, that doesn't sound satisfied. That means he's so satisfied in him, he wants to know it at a greater level. Because in prison, he's telling them to rejoice. How can he do that? Because he is content. In prison, he's saying, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice in the prison cell. He even says later on, he says that whatsoever state I'm in, therewith be content. I'm content sitting here in the prison cell. How can he have done that? Because his goal wasn't to just start more churches than everybody else. That was his heart. His goal wasn't to have more disciples. And this, his goal was God. And he says, that's where I found my happiness at. Let's keep on going. He sought after the Lord. So how do we seek after the Lord? It says in verse number 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I love that verse. And I know I love the instruction that's found at the beginning of it, but that last part, for he will abundantly pardon, I like that because I need that sometimes. I sin and I do wrong, and sometimes I think I'm worthless. Sometimes I know I'm worthless, and sometimes I'm thinking, how can I continue on? And I'm thankful I can agree with God and confess it before the Lord, and I can get it right, and he pardons me. And I'm thankful for that. And let's keep on going. But if we're going to seek the Lord, we're going to listen, we're going to get our hearts right. Then he says in verse number 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So I think we would all say, you know what? That's right. God thinks higher than me. God's ways are higher than my ways. God knows more than I do. Then I should listen. That's the whole point. I would have never known that was a sin not to forgive until the Bible told me. I would have never known that going over and sulking and having a bad attitude was a sin until the Bible told me not to murmur. I would have never known that my relationships have so much of an effect, or how I look at things, or the lusting or the coveting or these other things in my life. Or I would have never known those things, because God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts. God's ways are higher than my ways. And when he comes to this, he's saying, if you truly want satisfaction, you want something that will satisfy you, you're going to have to listen to what the Lord says. And once again, I'm looking around the room and I see a bunch of people who are satisfied and content in so many areas of their life. And I'm not looking for people that are out. I'm not looking at people that are out there trying to do this or do some type of reach something else. But I know deep down inside, our hearts are yearning sometimes. They're longing for something more. The satisfaction and contentment that this world offers will never, ever match up to what a true relationship with God and a close relationship to God would offer. Let's keep on going. Verse number 10. "For as rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and return it not thither, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Now, you say, "Pastor, I'm not satisfied with the work that I'm doing at the Lord. It seems like I'm giving it out, and I don't see the results." I think sometimes we don't give it out in the way that in God's way, in God's power, and God's strength. We got to make sure our hearts are right. But he says if we're going to give God's word out God's way, it's not going to return void. I think about Jeremiah, you know, I think it was 40 years he sat there and tried to tell them to get right and repent, and we don't see any known converts there. We do that there are other godly people during that time, but we don't see any type of thing that they returned and they did what was right, at least not long term. So his message, and that's when Isaiah chapter number 6, Isaiah sees God high and lifted up. He says, "I'll go." He says, and he says, "How long?" He says, "You just keep on doing it and keep on doing it." He says, even when everything else is still going to go wrong, everything's going, he says, his word is accomplishing what he desired. And the truth is being put out there. Even if people are not responding to it, we should continue to put the word of God out. We should continue to tell. I would have never known it was my responsibility to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ had not the Bible told me. Really? I mean, that's the truth. Because naturally, once we first get saved, lots of times we want to, I got to tell somebody. But after, if we don't fan that flame, after a while, we could spend a day, a week, a month, a year, years without presenting the gospel to somebody. Why is that? Because we're not listening to what God's word says. Because I would have never known that had the Bible not told me. So if this is the word of God, and there are certain things we're supposed to do, and there's certain ways we're supposed to act, I would never known that I'm supposed to love my wife the way that Christ loved the church, or put her before me, unless God had told me that. I would have never known that we're supposed to submit one another, but specifically, ladies are supposed to submit unto their husbands, and the husband's supposed to be the head of the household. I wouldn't have known unless he told me that. And that's what the scripture is saying. Look, my ways are higher than your ways, so stop thinking that I got this figured out better than God does. Stop saying what I'm doing is okay if we're doing something that's not right. Let's keep on going. Verse number 11. "So shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth, and shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." You say, "Pastor, I don't see the sense of continuing on in outreach. It doesn't seem like it's reaching anybody." He tells you right here to do it. Never tells you to stop. He tells the one that is there to boldly stand and continue to teach and preach the gospel. Put Jesus Christ up. Continue to put him up. "For ye shall go out with joy. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that shall not be cut off. So when I was thinking this, looking, as I mentioned yesterday and I mentioned earlier, part of my thought was I wanted to impress upon some young people who maybe never even heard about the Bible before that there are some things in here that your culture is going to tell you you should be doing, but the Bible says it's different. And we will all say, oh, they need to hear that. But there's some things in here that our church culture sometimes tells you you should be doing differently, because we've learned certain things. We've grown accustomed to certain things that we think it's okay for me to murmur. It's okay for me not to be a witness. It's okay for me to want to get my way. And like I said, these are things that God's brought to my heart, because I began to go down this list and think, okay, we need to teach them it's wrong to lie, because most times they say, hey, whatever you can do to get out of it, it's okay. It's wrong to steal. They'll tell you, hey, look, if you don't have something, you see something, you should take it. That's what culture tells them. That's what groups are telling them. It's okay to loot. It's okay to riot. It's okay. No. But the Bible says something completely different. And that's why we got to come to this point. Sometimes we think as believers and Christians, and me being saved for now 40 years of my life, that I think I have certain things figured out. It's okay for me to act a certain way. But when I'm sitting here and I'm inclining my ear, like it talks about in verse number 3, and I'm listening, like it talks about in verse number 2, I'm seeking him diligently, like it says in verse number 6, there are certain things I realize I could be doing better. I should be doing better. When the Bible says, put no wicked thing before mine eyes, there are certain things I shouldn't look at. When the Bible gives instruction on maybe how I'm supposed to dress, there are certain things, it's what it says in there. So I want to encourage you today. Don't get angry and upset with sometimes people who do not know the Bible acting like they don't know the Bible. But look deep inside your own heart and see the things that what we do is contrary to what the Word of God says. And allow God to do a work to show us. And once again, we pray for others. We teach, we preach, we reach. We don't just allow sin to happen and just ignore it. Obviously, no. But at the same time, if we truly want contentment, if we truly want satisfaction, it's found in verse number 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. If I've been doing something for many, many years, and Lord brings something to my mind, I beat myself up. Man, I wish I would have known that before. I wish I would have understood that before. I wish I would have seen that before. But if it's something that I've been doing for a long time, it's become a stronghold in my life, sometimes I still drop into doing that. So that's why I need to be careful, and I need to say, this is God's word, and I want to listen to God's word, and I want to see what it says, and I want to believe what it says, and I want to abide by it, because I would not have known any of these things unless God had told me. If God would have never told me that I shouldn't do this, then I probably would have done it. So today, is there something in our heart, in our mind, in our thought process of, is there something I'm seeking after besides the Lord? And that same book I read from earlier, The Pursuit of God, there was a prayer that he had, and I was encouraged by the prayer, and I think it'd be something that may be an encouragement to you, because it says in verse number 6, this is the point, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Here's the prayer that Tozer had written to consider. It said, O God, I have tasted thy goodness. And I think most of us would say, we have tasted the goodness of God at some point in time in our life. He says, I have tasted thy goodness, and it hath both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more. I am painfully conscious of my need of further grace. I am ashamed of my lack of desire. O God, the triune God, I want thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made more thirsty still. Show me thy glory, I pray thee, that so I may know thee indeed. Begin in mercy a new work of love within me. Say to my soul, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. then give me grace to rise and follow thee up from the misty lowland where I wander so long. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking that lack of desire I have for him is something that I want more of. That longing I have is something I need to ask God to fill me with that longing. Make me thirsty. Make me say no to the things of this world and the things that I found my satisfaction in. It's a limited satisfaction. I need more and more, but I don't want to be satisfied with those things. I want what the Lord has to offer. So today, the question is, are you thirsty? Are you thirsting after the things of God? Because what we put the most time and energy on, those things that we love the most. So whatever we love the most, that's what's going to have most of our focus. That's what's going to have most of our time, our energy, our money, but our thoughts. Our thoughts today, they're not higher than God's. Even if you've been saved for 50 or 60 years and you have a productive Christian life, your thoughts are still not higher than God's thoughts. Your ways are still not higher than God's ways. It never trumps the Word of God. It never trumps the Bible. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I think about what your word says there. And I'm thankful for all the things that is written in it. 1 John, it talks about how your commandments are not grievous. And Lord, I'm not always wanting to listen to them, but I'm thankful that you've given in your word so many times, so many guidelines, so many things to help me know what the right way is. As Paul said, I would not have known it was wrong to lust until you said, thou shalt not covet. And I would not have known that some of the things that happened inside my heart and happened in my life and happened inside my house or even inside this church would have been wrong until we see it in the scriptures. Help us to be biblical people. Help us to see where not recognizing God for who he is and not glorifying God for who he is, and by not being thankful, how our wisdom becomes foolishness. And Lord, I know in Romans chapter 1, that's speaking to a group of people who never put their faith and trust in you, and you see how bad and how wrong things have become. But Lord, even in applying it into our own hearts and lives as believers, when we know truth and we know wisdom and we ignore it, then God, it's something that we're going to be foolish in our actions. And God, I would ask that you would continue to work in our hearts and lives, and even now as we're praying, that you would begin to bring up things that we have put before you, pursuits that we have taken the spot of pursuing after you, that thing that we love the most. If it's not you, Lord, help us to repent of that and get that right. Lord, I pray if there is something in our hearts, whether it be not giving, not being faithful, our attitudes, whatever, lack of soul winning, lack, whatever it is, reading our Bible, being a witness, meditating on the Word of God, all those different things. I'm sure there could be a number of different things that would come to our hearts and minds that, Lord, you would just bring that to our hearts and minds even now. And that we would not sit there and justify it, thinking, well, I got a good way of looking at this. This is the way it should be. But instead, we believe what your word says, and we realize that our thoughts are not greater than yours. Our ways are not higher than yours, and that we would be willing to take your word and live by it. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us such a wonderful church family. Lord, I pray that you bless this church. Lord, we want to see people saved. We want to see people growing. We want to see people doing those things that would be pleasing to you. And once again, thank you for your word. Help us to get into your word. Help us if there's something that we're struggling with to go and listen and read the word of God, Lord, because hearing the word of God is going to help increase our faith. Help us not just listen to the word of God. Help us to pray and apply it to our lives and then obey the word of God. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.